At Seaburn Breakfast right here on RDU 98.5. And of course, it is Monday, so it only makes sense to have our Monday show sponsor here. I have Alison from the Court Theatre with me. Good morning.
Morena.
How are you?
I'm really well. Yeah. Things are going great.
So. Good. I feel like, what does it, there must be a atmosphere of satisfaction around this time of year at the Court Theatre is here.
Yeah, like exhausted satisfaction.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
But we've still got something rotten going on, and I think like everyone in the company just loves that show so much and loves the people involved in it, and it's just such a good time. That like adds a little lift.
I think it is a perfect thing to have like the start and end of the year. It's so fun.
Yeah.
It's so loud and bashful. Like, you can't be angry.
No. I don't,
you know?
Yeah, it's totally what you need. I think, like, the thing that I keep saying about it is that it's stupidly smart and smartly stupid.
Yes, yeah. I think that's a good way to put it, actually. And I've been, honestly, I've just been thinking about the costumes ever since I went and saw it.
I know.
Just some of them are so, so good.
Yeah. I mean, all of them are pretty amazing. But yeah, I was thinking, I actually went along to the matinee on Saturday, and just again thinking about like Tina, this might be a spoiler, but the omelette costumes.
Oh my God.
The fact that there are actually like glittery mushrooms in the perfect swirl of yellow and white. If your listeners haven't seen it, they're going to have to go along
there's costumes. An egg themed bit that you have to go and witness yourself, yeah. I think. Anyway, you do, I never kind of realised, but the Court Theatre does a lot of Christmassy stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, we've got the Christmas Carnage going on from the Jesters, which is their, like, special kind of family friendly. Well, they gauge the audience pretty well.
Yeah, right, right.
With a Christmas theme, and then and always the end of year musical.
Cool.
And the Jesters also have like their for adults Friday night big Christmas extravaganza. It's an all in.
So how does that kind of look, those jestery Christmas things? Yeah. Yeah, I guess it's hard.
Yeah, I mean, I think with their theme shows and their family shows have got like a little bit of a structure around them.
Yeah, right, right.
A kind of narrative, or sometimes it's with the long form ones as well, that they're kind of working within a theme or a story structure. With scriptless, it can really go any direction. There's often a kind of theme. For the end of the year, they're really just going big by having the entire jester company play.
So how many jesters are there?
Oh, God, don't ask me.
So it's quite a lot.
There's quite a lot. Yeah, there's
wow, like, okay.
Yeah. I want to say like 23. There's a
holy
good number.
Moly!
Yeah, and we have our apprentice jesters as well.
Yeah, right, right.
There's a real like, I guess like genealogy to it, because
oh my God, that must be so interesting.
Yeah, well, there's some amazing. I mean, like the late great Kel Wilson was a jester, and then they have the regular company, and then the apprentices training within the company. And then we have the Jester's Youth Company, which is for 17 to 21 year olds.
Wow, it's quite thorough, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah. And I think people kind of underestimate improv a little bit. Like, you make shit up as you go along.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
There is so much structure and there's so much history to it. And like, chances are any comedian you admire or comedy writer that you admire has probably come out of an improv scene at
totally some point. Totally like it is actually a really hard skill to develop.
Oh my gosh, yeah, like, and there's so much structure around it, like that's what's
totally
so deceptive.
Totally it's quite yeah absolutely so for this end of year show they get all the jesters in.
Yes. Yeah, I mean there might be a few that aren't available,
but right, of course, yeah,
it will be chaotic madness should be a good time.
Oh, yeah. My God. Sure, on stage, will it win?
Yeah, well, they eliminate them, and they're pretty crucial. Yeah. Generally, with all really? That. So you start with a big crowd, and then we kind of get further and further.
Oh, my down. God. Okay.
Usually, yeah.
Right.
I mean, I don't quite know what the MC has planned, but...
Okay. So there's an MC... And they MC and what? They kind of just control the evening?
Yeah, or? And take the offers from the audience.
Right, okay, yeah. Okay. is it good at sticking within the Christmas theme?
Yeah, usually pretty good.
Yeah, like, right, that's sort of
also the MC's job is, you know, keep them on track. But we've had all kinds of themes throughout the year.
Okay. You can probably keep on Christmas. Relatively.
Christmas can go in a lot of directions.
Yeah.
You know, particularly if we go with holidays, not just Christmas.
Of course.
Yeah.
So is there anything else pre-Christmas at the Court Theatre?
No, I think that's, yeah. So we've got Christmas Carnage, Jesters, and then Something Rotten, which runs until 27th of January.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we've just launched the 2024 season.
Yeah, so tell me about that. What are we in store for 2024? That rhymed a lot better than we expected there. Nice.
Once we'd put the season together, I was like, oh, all of these shows are kind of about, like, art or entertainment or the performing arts in some kind of a way.
Right.
So there's lots of super fun stuff. We've got a bit of meta theatre in there. We're kicking off the year with a huge one, because why not?
Yeah, of course.
Agatha Christie's Murder on the Orient Express.
Oh,
in an adaptation by Ken Ludwig.
Okay. You know, I've never seen that as a stage play.
No, it totally works. Like, it's
not... Yeah, I can believe that. Yeah.
It's, I think, taps into the inherent campiness of Agatha Christie. Like, you're still 100% getting the murder mystery. It is not forced.
Well, I was going to say murder mystery is camp.
Yeah,
I
itself, mean, right?
Yeah, it's such, like... Yeah, it's so camp when it's performed and so dramatic. And,
yeah. And, like, Hercule Poirot is, like... A very camp character in himself. Like,
yeah,
all
yeah.
of his little quirks and Absolutely. The meticulous moustache and everything. And I think, you know, we're going to go to town on just, you know, having, like, those gorgeous retro costumes.
Oh, totally.
The train has got to be, like, additional character.
Oh, my God, your carriages have to be beautiful.
Yeah, and it's going to be directed by Dan Bain, which is also really cool.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. Oh, that will be such fun play.
Yeah. That was kind of the aim of it. Just, like, hopefully, like, get a little bit of suspense, a little bit of, like, murdery fun. Just really, like, entertainment, you know. Smart entertainment.
Absolutely.
Felt like a good way to start the year. And then immediately after that, we're actually going to use our studio space for this amazing one-person show called Every Brilliant Thing.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And, there's some audience participation, if you like, but don't be scared. If you don't want to, you don't have to. But it's really moving. It's the character, central character, as a child, wanted to bring their mother out of basically depression.
Right.
And so started to write a list of every brilliant thing. And this continues throughout their life. So it's beginning with things like the color yellow.
Of course.
And then gets, a little...
It develops over time.
As they sort of tell the story of this list and the audience is, like, participating in the list and also becoming the characters in this life story.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
So, yeah, it's really, like, it's one of those ones that is just kind of quietly hits you with how profound it is.
Yeah.
But it's also very sweet and charming and, like, engaging with mental health, which is such a real thing for all of us.
Yeah, totally.
But at the same time, you get to think about, like, oh, yeah, like, this those tiny brilliant things.
Yeah, you know. Which that's so interesting because I mean, those are the ultimate things that are like, you know, motivators for people, I think.
Yeah.
Realistically in life are the slightly smaller things, you know. Like,
yeah. And it's like, you have to sometimes remind yourself to keep with those. So, yeah, it's a really gorgeous, it's like one that has sort of been on our list for a long time, but we weren't sure how to do it because it does require that intimacy. But then with how the calendar has worked out, we're able to use the studio space to have
That's so cool.
Yeah. So that's going to be really gorgeous and special, I think.
Okay, cool.
And then we're getting Mark Hadlow and Lara McGregor on stage. For a great sort of backstage farce by Greg Cooper, Mr. and Mrs. Macbeth of Heathcote Valley Road. They're actors, they're married, it's backstage. He's the understudy, she's the lead.
Oh, right, and they're married.
Yeah.
Right, okay, yeah. Okay, interesting.
And then Mid-Year Musical is one that I have loved for, like, so long. Fun Home. By Lisa Cron and Janine Tesori.
Oh, I don't know if I know that one.
It's so, I can't wait for people to experience it. It's adapted from Alison Bechdel's graphic memoir. It's her kind of coming of age story, but also her very complicated relationship with her very complicated father. Fun Home because she grew up in a funeral home, and that's what she and her brothers called it, the Fun Home.
Yeah, right.
And it was, you know, for me, it was one of those things where, like, I loved the memoir so much that I was scared to see the adaptation. And so it was just like a revelation. It's like, oh yes, this is like so true to what is brilliant about that book, but also using, and like Lisa Cron and Janine Tesori are like the sort of best or among the best contemporary musical theatre duo right now. Just like genuinely beautiful music. It's gonna be amazing.
That would be so interesting because we all know a book that has not translated well to performance of, you know, any sort, really. So it's so nice when they are pulled off well.
Yeah, it just like adds to your love of the book.
Totally. And that's such an interesting thing about that sort of thing is you don't necessarily fall in love with the stage show or the film. You fall more in love with the original text, really.
Like it reminds you of everything that you love about it. And for anyone who hasn't made the connection that Alison Bechdel is the Bechdel of the Bechdel test. So for all my feminists out there.
That's a really interesting story in of itself, the whole Bechdel test thing.
Yeah.
That should be a show. Maybe one day. Who knows? That's simply just up until mid-year.
Yes, yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, we like to do a lot.
Yeah, obviously.
We've got Indian Ink coming in. With Paradise, which is gorgeous and involves a vulture puppet, and I'm a sucker for puppets. We've also got more puppets in there with Tusk Puppets their show for little ones. The Lost Sock, which is music and puppetry.
Great.
And
I think we've all
had that experience of the socks go in the washing machine. Where does one of them go? That is going to be amazing. And then an absolute classic, Henrik Ibsen's A Doll's House.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah, which it's, I mean, I think if you're a theatre nerd, you know and love A Doll's House, but it really stands up.
It does.
Yeah. I love reminding people that, like, when it was first written, like, in the 19th century, 1895.
Oh, God. Somewhere around I wouldn't. That check my sounds dates. Like it's accurate.
Yeah. So, we'll just go with 19th century. That Ibsen was like pressured into writing an alternative ending for Germany because there was. German actors would refuse to play the part of Nora. It was like shocking.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. I didn't know that.
But still, like, even like there are the particulars of that era that restrict Nora. But I think like a lot of the themes about like or the realities of like needing economic independence in order to have personal independence. And the way in which kind of playing to a feminine ideal can, like, cramp your own sense of identity.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
All of that is still, like...
Oh, it's so relevant. Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, it is a total classic. And then we're going to finish off the year with another big glittery one.
I'm sure.
Baz Luhrmann's Strictly Ballroom.
Oh my God. All right, I'm done. Yeah. Goodbye. Oh, my God, really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I'm already tired.
And that one, it's like, I mean, Strictly Ballroom, it's just all about, like, comedy and romance and dancing and sequins. And, yeah, and it's great. I love it's, like... You know, you can't do Strictly Ballroom without having Time After Time and, you know.
Yeah, there are some great songs in
all there. All of that. And, like, I think particularly if you're a 90s kid, that, like, emotional memory is just going to kick right in. But there's also, like, a lot of new music in there by, like, Sia and David Foster. And,
you know. Oh, right. Okay.
So, yeah, so it's, like, a nice mix. So
yeah,
it's,
yeah.
Like, it's not a jukebox musical or just, like, just using the music from the film. It's still got that, like, original music in there. But hanging on to everything that's going to, like, that you love about the film.
Oh, my God, that's going to be great.
Yeah.
I saw Baz Luhrmann, actually, once in Paris. Wow. I walked past him, yeah.
near Moulin Rouge?
no, actually. I wish it was. I even thought to myself at the time, I was like, if we were, like, 4 kilometres the other way, this would have been way funnier, but whatever.
That's amazing.
Wow, that is a big calendar.
Yeah, and then, we'll have Jesters throughout the year.
Yeah, and you'll just have tons of stuff probably sandwiched in there. Yeah,
we'll still be doing, we do the schools tour, so taking a te reo school for show for kids.
Wow.
Around Canterbury Primary Schools. Crash Bash, which we do with the Christchurch Police and City Council, Ottawa. So, yeah, and hopefully, you know, I'm pretty sure we'll have some other things to add to the calendar as well to just...
I have no doubt more will be added to that calendar, am sure.
Yeah. So that's, the Ryman Healthcare 2024 season.
Oh, my God. huge season coming up.
Always.
Wow, I'm so excited for that.
And it's final season in the shed, so it's kind of a big deal.
Oh, my God, it will be, won't it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I haven't even thought about that. Wow, what an exciting year it's going to be for you guys. Holy moly.
Yeah. It'll be a nice, you know, a loving farewell to the...
Yeah, absolutely. Church. And that space has served you pretty well.
Yeah.
Well, it sort of had to, but, like, it's definitely become, like, an unintended lovely home almost, in a way.
Yeah, and I think, you know, people have a real attachment to it. But we've been touring the new theatre last week, and it was very, very exciting.
Oh, I can imagine. I remember one of my old workplaces when, like, our new building was being built. It's so exciting.
Yeah.
And the fresh building smell.
Oh, no, it's going to, like, they've done incredible work. And, Ross Scumley, who's, you know, he's the artistic advisor, former artistic director, so he, like, really understands.
Yeah, he would know what you need and stuff. Yeah,
so, you know, really thinking about, like, that flexibility, the relationship between the actors and the audience, and, like, acoustics, and,
oh my God,
you know, and how the, you know, how the production team, what the working environment is going to be. So, it's going to be incredible.
Oh my god, that's so cool. And yeah, logistically a complex space to do really a theatre.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, and we're so fortunate because there aren't that many purpose-built theatres, particularly like for contemporary theatre.
Yeah, I can believe that, yeah.
And yeah, there are so many things to consider.
Mm.
Like, there's the audience's side of things, but also like wardrobe and workshop.
Well, that's the thing, yeah. You think audience and actors, but no, it's props and technology and costumes and flow of people and all that.
Yeah, we've really got such an incredible production team. So it's like, yeah, if they're going to build this amazing set, there's also got to be the, and then how does it get from workshop to the stage?
Yeah.
You know, all of those kinds of questions.
So. Oh, well, Alison, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure to add you to the roster this year. So thank you.
I've loved it.
And it's, yeah, it is so cool to have Court Theatre on. And I just, yeah, I love how packed and busy you keep yourself. So thank you so much for joining me this morning. Have a lovely Christmas as
you
well.
Too.
Do you get a little time off?
Get a little time off.
Okay, yeah. Good. Yeah. Good. Well, yeah, one more time. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Liam.